Resource allocation. In the same way that warehouse space is allocated to product and activities in the most efficient way possible, the warehouse labor budget and available equipment resources must be allocated in the most efficient manner to warehouse processes. This is done by creating a model of the way in which resources are typically expended in the warehouse operation. The resource model helps managers set resource levels and forecast costs. It is also a target against which performance can be measured and a way of pricing services more accurately. Resource allocation has two parts. First, average or standard warehouse resource utilization must be defined for all activities to an acceptable level of detail and accuracy. Then, activities must be studied to identify the size and timing of variations from these averages, for example, hourly, daily, or monthly spikes or drops in activity. Together, the model and the data about variances can be used to estimate resource needs more accurately. Modeling resource utilization. There are four steps in modeling resource utilization. Identify major warehouse processes. Processes will vary by warehouse. For example, in a cross-docking warehouse, activities are primarily receiving and shipping, and perhaps consolidation or break bulk. The goal is to capture most but not necessarily all of the warehouse processes. In warehouse management, Richard suggests that developing detailed budgets for minor aspects of the warehouse operation may not warrant the time investment. Divide each process into its component activities. This allows for a more detailed understanding of where time and resources are being spent. For example, the picking process can be divided into the following steps. Create pick lists. This is performed by office staff using an automated system. Pick items into bins. Sort items into orders if orders are not picked discreetly. Package orders, complete documentation, and place orders on pallets. One way to distinguish activities is by how they are measured. Picking items into bins is probably measured by the number of items picked, while package orders is measured by the number of orders completed and ready for transfer to shipment. Richards cautions warehouse managers about being too detailed in this step. There needs to be a balance between creating task lines for every element of work and recognizing where elements are interdependent and should be considered collectively. Each activity is assigned a volume for a certain amount of time, which is based on the volume of warehouse operations. For example, the number of items to be picked and the number of orders to be sorted and packaged will be based on the number of lines in an order and the typical number of orders each day. Schedule the activities. Each activity in the warehouse is defined in terms of how much time it typically requires and how that activity relates to the timing of other activities. When an activity must be completed before another activity is begun or when activities can overlap. Activities can also be sequenced simultaneously by day. Replenishment for tomorrow can be performed during today's pick. For example, inbound shipments are processed from 6 a.m. to noon. The shipments are checked against order forms and for quality and completeness are then scanned into the inventory system. Each unit is labeled with its SKU. Some units may be broken down and sorted for storage. Storage begins as soon as receipts are processed. When there are multiple receipts, storage activities may run concurrently with receiving activities. Replenishment activities begin at 8 a.m. and continue until 7 p.m. Replenishment patterns are coordinated with picking patterns. For example, group of products are replenished first to ensure availability when picking begins. Picking of group of products begins at 10 a.m. and continues to 8 p.m. Sorting, packaging, and value-added activities begin as orders arrive from picking. They begin at 11 a.m. and end at midnight. Shipping begins as orders are packaged, /palleted, and moved into the shipping area. It continues until the last shipment is dispatched at 6 a.m. Warehouse cleaning can begin as soon as picking is ended. Equipment and vehicle maintenance occur at different times throughout the day. Administration and information systems work is performed from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Cycle counting is scheduled when there is little or no activity with the inventory being counted. So this is scheduled from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., but scheduling this at the end of a work shift is also common. Mapping out these activities can help identify potential conflicts in the use of equipment or space. Exhibit 4-37 shows a Gantt style chart for the warehouse activities described above. Exhibit 4-37, Warehouse Activity Schedule. Assign resources to each activity. The resource assignments are based on work standards. In the picking process example, the warehouse may have a standard of 200 items picked per hour. If the anticipated daily item load is 20,000, that represents 100 hours of work. If the daily load requires 100 hours of work and picking takes place over 10 hours, there must be 10 pickers or automated pick slots to complete the work. The equipment used is the automated picking system. Developing work standards. Work standards are related to capacity, defined in this context as the capability of a worker, machine, work center, plant, or organization to produce output per time period. Partial definition from the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary. Rated capacity is defined in the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary as the expected output capability of a resource or system. Capacity is traditionally calculated from such data as planned hours, efficiency, and utilization. It is determined by multiplying the available time of an asset by its utilization rate and its efficiency percentage. Simply put, to allocate resources, a planner needs to know how much productivity to expect. Expected productivity will depend on the amount of time the resource is actually available, utilization, and how much the resource can produce, efficiency. Obtaining a rated capacity for a given period of time requires knowledge of three things. Available time is a product of hours of operation and numbers of workers or equipment in use during those hours. For instance, the receiving area has 5 workers scheduled to receive and unload shipments 8 hours a day, 5 days per week. This yields weekly available time of 200 hours. Utilization is a measure, usually expressed as a percentage, of how intensively a resource is being used to produce a good or service. First definition from the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary. For example, the receiving crew actually unloads shipments only 6 hours a day due to breaks and other assignments, such as cycle counting or cross-training. The weekly total is 150 actual hours worked. The utilization rate for receiving is 75%. Efficiency is defined as a measurement, usually expressed as a percentage, of the actual output relative to the standard output expected. Efficiency measures how well something is performing relative to existing standards. Partial definition from the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary. Standard output is often measured in units of time since that is a common element for different work units, for example, the time required to unload a truck or pick an order. Standard time, standard hours, is the length of time that should be required to 1. Set up a given machine or operation, and 2. Run one batch or one or more parts, assemblies, or end products through that operation. It assumes an average worker who follows prescribed methods and allows time for personal rest to overcome fatigue and unavoidable delays. Partial definition from the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary. For example, based on a task analysis, warehouse planners know that the average receiving area unloads 120 shipments per week. Based on records, the planners know that the warehouse's receiving crew as a rule unloads 150 shipments a week. Perhaps this crew is more experienced or has better equipment, or there is some critical difference in the types of shipments. Based on a task analysis the business has conducted, planners know that unloading a shipment takes an average of 1.5 hours. So, the standard output is 180 hours, 120 multiplied by 1.5, and the crew's actual output is 225 hours, 150 multiplied by 1.5. The efficiency rate for receiving is therefore 125%. We can now calculate the rated capacity for receiving. The warehouse receiving crew can contribute about 187.5 hours of output a week. Another way of measuring capacity available is demonstrated capacity. You could consider this the practical counterpart of rated capacity. It is simply the average output measured over a period of time. For instance, let's say that the receiving crew rated above at 187.5 standard hours of available capacity had this performance during 6 consecutive weeks, equals 6. Its demonstrated capacity would be the average of the weekly output for those 6 weeks, or 192.1 standard hours. Aligning capacity and load. The available capacity at a work center must be compared to the required load. If the capacity does not match or exceed the load, then there is a capacity constraint. If capacity exceeds load, over time the operation will be inefficient and costly. When capacity and load are not aligned, planners must change capacity, change the load, or change a combination of the two. Change capacity to match the load. Tactics include the following. Add or reduce work hours. Use overtime hours to handle the extra load or undertime hours to reduce the cost of excess capacity. Hire or lay off workers. This is an inefficient way to handle a short-term problem. For example, severance to outgoing employees or training new ones. Shift the workforce. If you have work centers that are over capacity and others that are under, you may be able to move workers with compatible skills. Job rotation techniques can prepare the workforce for this. Change the routings. Instead of moving workers around, reroute the work to take advantage of overutilized and underutilized stations. For warehouse space, this could involve rerouting orders to a different warehouse. Subcontract extra work to a third party or hire temporary workers if you have an agency that can provide workers with the requisite skills. For warehouse space, this could involve using a contract warehouse. Change the load to match capacity. It may be possible to reduce or increase the load to bridge a gap between load and capacity, but this can be done only if it doesn't complicate matters too much at other work centers. There are two possible tactics. Change lot sizes. Change the schedule, identifying seasonal variances. A model depicts averages that are composed of peaks and troughs in demand. It can provide a good overall picture of warehouse needs, but a variance analysis will provide a level of detail more useful in scheduling workers or anticipating resource conflicts. Variations may occur throughout the day, throughout the week, possibly throughout the month, and probably throughout the year. For example, orders may be released in the morning. As a result, picking may peak midday, while packing may peak at the end of the day as shipments are prepared. Heavier consumer demand or production schedules for summer or holiday inventory may require more warehouse activity in certain months. Identifying variances and their magnitude requires analyzing activity over a sufficient period of time. For example, the warehouse manager wants to know how to allocate picking hours in the annual labor budget. How many hours will be required to meet warehouse needs each month? Labor classified under picking is shown in Exhibit 4-38. Exhibit 4-38, seasonal variation in labor demand. The annual average is about 700 hours a month. With overtime and part-time workers, the picking crew can probably manage variations up to about 800 hours. The variances for June and November, and possibly May and October, suggest the need for planning contingency workers for those periods, perhaps by using a temporary employment agency to source the necessary workers. The budget will have to include necessary overtime and agency fees.